The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 37, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 9th, 2009, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, Karma Yoga, text number 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyenam Mihavarinam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyenam Mihivarinam. Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world." Purport. When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. Then again, when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. The wrath is transformed into illusion, and illusion continues the material existence. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity, and it is lust only which induces the poor living entity, the pure living entity, to remain entangled in the material world. Wrath is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other corollaries. If, therefore, the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. And the living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. They also have partial independence, but by misuse of their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned souls to fulfill these lustful propensities. And when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. This inquiry is the beginning of the Vedanta Sutras, wherein it is said, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. One should inquire into the Supreme. And the Supreme is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as Janmajasya Jatonyavyad Itaratascha. The origin of everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If therefore lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Hanuman, the great servitor of Lord Ram, exhibited his wrath by burning the golden city of Ravana, but by doing so, he became the greatest devotee of the Lord. Here also, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord induces Arjuna to engage his wrath upon enemies for the satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friends instead of our enemies.
Bandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
So, the original position of the living entity is the service attitude. But that service attitude has been transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment. That propensity for sense enjoyment is called lust. There's room right here. So, just as the propensity for sense enjoyment can be transformed into lust, that process can be reversed also. That lust can be transformed into the service attitude. That is the process known as Krishna consciousness. If you take your talents and your abilities and you engage them in Krishna service, then gradually that tendency to want to be happy by sense enjoyment will become transformed back into its original attitude of being happy by rendering service to Krishna. The method for doing this is to bring one's senses under control. Even though the senses are desiring sense enjoyment, we tell them, no, you can't have it. you are going to engage in devotional service. Just like when a little child grows up. At a certain age, he is sent to school. Does he want to go to school? No. He wants to keep playing, chasing butterflies. But the parents make him go to school. So our senses, they are like a little child. They don't want to be regulated. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the belly, the genitals, they don't want to be regulated. They want to be free to pursue sense enjoyment. Like a little child who wants to keep playing instead of going to school. So the devotee, he says, no, my dear senses, you cannot do that. I'm going to force you to engage in devotional service. You want to sleep, but I'm going to force you to get up before the sunrise and observe the Brahma Muhurta hour. You want to eat anything and everything, but no, I will force you. You only can take Krishna Prasadam. You want to have unlimited sex pleasure, but no, I'm going to restrict you. You can only have sex pleasure for producing Krishna conscious children. So in this way, the devotee brings his senses under control, engaging them in Krishna's service. And by this activity, the consciousness gradually becomes reinstated in its original position of rendering service to Krishna. In the beginning of the prath, devotional service sometimes seems very unnatural. But as one gradually follows this pathway, then it becomes a very, very natural thing. In the beginning, one would not dream of rising at 4 o'clock in the morning. But when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, one wouldn't dream of sleeping past 4 o'clock in the morning. So now we have come to try to encourage you all to strictly follow this Krishna consciousness process. And we hope that you become inspired to become more strict in your practice. Tomorrow we are leaving. But we hope that our words of encouragement will stick with you in your hearts. That you will all arise early in the morning and very nicely take bath and chant the holy names of the Lord. Those who are initiated, they must complete every day at least 16 times around the beads. And those who are not initiated, they should prepare themselves for taking initiation. Because that is the road to going back to Godhead. Just like if you want a college degree, you enroll in the university. Isn't it? You register as a student. So initiation means you're registering as a student. In the Bhakti Yoga training program. If you never register as a student, how will you expect to get a degree? If you don't take initiation, how will you expect to go back to Godhead? Prabhupada said that Krishna will not accept our service unless we're initiated. So it's a very important thing. Every person who wants to go back to Godhead, he must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. And then he must strictly follow the orders. Chant at least 16 rounds every day on the beads. Strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Rise early, take bath. Participate in the activities of the Hare Krishna movement. Read Prabhupada's books. Distribute these books so that others can benefit. In this way, if you want to regain your original service attitude and overcome lust, you must strictly follow this process. Otherwise, you remain entangled in karma chakra. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Srila Prabhupada explains that the four regulative principles are just the condition that one be a human being.
Okay.
So this is just basic thing. But sometimes we are very attached to those four regulative principles to the degree that it becomes negative.
May I try to translate my question, because this seems to be a little bit better. My question is, as you said, and Prabhupada also says, that the four regulative principles are actually something natural. It is not something imposed.
Yes, when one becomes advanced, they are natural. That's right. For a neophyte, they're very unnatural.
So there should be something natural. We only practice them because we don't have the habit in the Western world. We don't have that habit.
We develop those habits by practice.
Yes, in practice we develop those habits.
Yeah.
But we don't have it. My point is, don't we stress too much on the regulative principles to the point that they become actually... Negatively attached. We're speaking negatively too much about the regulative principles instead of stressing on the positive sides of the.
Yes. If one simply sees the regulative principles and doesn't see Krishna consciousness, then he is guilty of being too much attached to the regulative principle. That's a fact. Without Krishna consciousness, they will not be successful. Just like the Mayavadi sannyasis, they are very strict in regulative principles. But they have no Krishna consciousness. Similarly, they want to merge into a Brahman. So they are very, very rigid in their rules and regulations. Even if they emerge into Brahman, they fall down from Brahman after some time. So if one is too attached to rules and regulations without understanding how they are benefiting one's Krishna consciousness, then that can cause fall down. But that doesn't mean one should be loose and following the rules and regulations. One should strictly follow, but not fanatically follow. There's a difference. Fanatically means blindly. You don't understand why you're doing. But the Vaishnava, he strictly follows the rules and regulations, so he understands how it is helping him to become more Krishna conscious. For one who follows blindly, they become like enemies. For one who follows the rules and regulations with knowledge, they become like very good friends. So the injunction Rupa Goswami is Niyam Agraha. You should neither be too attached nor too negligent of the rules and regulations. If you're too rigid, that can cause fall down. And if you're too loose, that can cause fall down. So the proper balance is you see devotees who are advanced and you follow their example. We saw Prabhupada as the ideal example of the practical application of the rules and regulations. And we modeled ourselves after Srila Prabhupada. So now, you all can model yourself after those who modeled themselves after Srila Prabhupada. And then you will understand what is the practical application of rules and regulations. Any other question? Yeah.
Sometimes the service is so intense that we develop a desire to fall asleep. So is this attachment to tamoguna?
No, Prabhupada said if you're sleepy, take a snap. That means a nap. His nickname for nap. If you're sleepy, you take a nap. But Prabhupada said, not too much. You take just enough to refresh yourself. This is not fanaticism. You have to artificially imitate Raghunath Das Goswami eating one pat of butter every other day. You take sufficient sleep and sufficient rest so that you can work hard 24 hours a day for Krishna. Another question?
When I work 24 hours for Krishna, when I will sleep?
Well, you have to work in your sleep also. You have a question, Manaji? Yeah.
Lust and anger are the doors to hell. So, is it possible for one with initiation to go in hell? And
is that the question?
Yes.
That it?
Yes.
Yes. If one deviates from the orders of his spiritual master, he will go to hell. It's not like Christianity, so-called Christianity. I accepted Jesus, and now I can do whatever I want and I will be saved. It's not like that. Jesus will not save such a sinner who knowingly engages in sinful life. Nor will the spiritual master save one who intentionally engages in sin. If you want to be saved, you have to give up sinful activities. Not that I can go on sinning and go back to Godhead. Going back to Godhead is based on your taste. As long as you have a taste for sense enjoyment, you will take birth again in this material world. The devotee of the Lord, whose only taste is devotional service, he will go back to Godhead. So we have to train ourselves how to become very, very attached to devotional service 24 hours a day. That is our ticket back to Godhead. Devotional service means hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, washing the dishes, mopping the floor, cleaning the toilet for Krishna, collecting money, spending money for Krishna, selling books, so many things. Any other questions?
The senses are agitated by the material energy.
The what?
Agitated? Agitated by the material energy. This is the question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, the senses are very much agitated by the material energy. If one sees a beautiful girl, he becomes agitated. So, jayato vishayan pungsang sangatayuse upajayate. Instead of engaging the senses of material sense objects, as far as possible, you should engage your senses with spiritual sense objects. Instead of looking at all the beautiful young girls, you should look at Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Gurnitai. Instead of hearing some lusty love songs, you should hear the kirtan. In this way, your senses become free from the agitation of the material energy. And your natural propensity to love Krishna will be reawakened within your heart. And you'll become supremely happy. So we have to end a little early tonight. We're having a disciples meeting also after this. But who hasn't asked a question yet? All right, ask another one.
Усещаме енергии, които да ни подтикват да правим и да искаме да задоволяваме тези сетива. Да правим нещо да задоволяваме сетивата.
So this is the reason, even when we don't have before our eyes sense objects, but we feel this propensity to satisfy the senses.
That's because you have so many images stored within your psyche also.
Това защото имате много образи, които са в подсъзнанието.
You have all this material sense objects stored in your psyche, you, like the movies going inside your brain. Cinema, Maya cinema going on inside your brain. That's why it's very important to rise early in the morning and chant Hare Krishna before sunrise. Because that puts a powerful image of Krishna consciousness into your brain, which will stick throughout the whole day. So we're asking everybody to rise early in the morning, before sunrise, take your bath, put some tilak on, and put on a dhoti or a sari, and then sit down and chant Hare Krishna on your japa beads. Because that chanting in the early morning hours will make a very, very strong impression on your consciousness. It will give you a higher taste beyond the taste of sense enjoyment. And this way you'll be able to give up the lower activity of sense enjoyment. Anyone else who hasn't asked a question yet? Narady.
When there is an offense, but one who is offended doesn't take the offense, in this case, the offender, he takes the responsibility for offense.
The person who commits an offense against the Vaishnava, the devotee who was offended, he may not take offense, but Krishna will be offended that you've offended his devotee.
Когато някой скърби Вайшнава, този, който е оскърбен, може да не се смята за оскърбен, но
so even if that devotee was not offended, still you should beg forgiveness. So Krishna will forgive you for offending his devotee.
Кришна да ви прости за това, че сте обидени него в преда.
Anybody else haven't asked a question yet? Yes.
In our material world, the last world, the last word, word belongs to the evil, yes?
What is it?
Does the evil have
the last word?
Does evil have the last word in this world?
Yes.
No. It's like you can go into a dark room and you can take a little tiny flashlight like this, you see. It can make so much light, you see. Now, you see. And you go into a dark, into a bright room with a can full of darkness, and you take off the lid. Darkness is always overpowered by light. It's a practical thing. You can experiment. A little bit of light can drive away so much darkness. But darkness is immediately destroyed by light. You see, you can't use darkness to overpower light. It's not possible. Therefore, light always, truth always has the last word. So you should get on the side of truth. And then you will be a winner. So, our time has run out. We have to have a disciples meeting after this. So anyone who didn't get a chance to ask your question, you feel free to send me an email or come tomorrow morning's class at 7 a.m. There will be a class tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. So we appreciate very much how you all have been coming again and again and again to hear these lectures, to join these programs while we've been here. We very much appreciate this. Please always keep this enthusiasm to come together regularly for studying and chanting. Regularly chant Hare Krishna and the Japa beads. At least 16 rounds. Go regularly for Harinam Sankirtan as much as possible. If every day you can go, that's the ideal thing. Every day Harinam Sankirtan. And whenever you have opportunity, go out with Prabhupada's books and distribute them. Save the people of this country. Work together cooperatively under the leaders here. Always serve your spiritual master with love and devotion. Dedicate your life completely in the service of Srila Prabhupada's mission. If you will do these things, I personally guarantee, that you will not see Yamaraj at the time of death. You will go back to home, back to Godhead. So kindly take this pathway with all seriousness. Make your lives perfect. That is our request. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Raja Virja ki jai.